And I'll just have some opening comments and welcome to everyone listening to our Voices of Chica teleclass. This is the first of two in 2007. My name is Paul Weber. It's, of course, my honor to be able to be your host today. This free teleclass has two purposes. It gives us an opportunity to hear what's happening in the Chica boardroom. And secondly, it allows us to hear from someone who's involved in infection control in some other part of the world and what challenges they have. I'm very grateful to Jerry and the Chica board for allowing me to invite some of my friends from around the world to meet you in this way. On the second slide, you'll see a list of the companies who make the Voices of Chica teleclass financially possible. Thanks very much to Deb, Arjo, Pharmax, Ecolab, Virox, Lifetronics, EpiQuest, MarlaTech, and Maxell. The website addresses for each of these companies can be found at the end of the slide set. I hope maybe you'll take the opportunity to contact them and thank them yourself. Now, on the next slide, you'll see the agenda for this teleclass. There have been some adjustments, and we'll make those as we go. I'll say no more about this slide other than to note that our special guest is Dr. Lo Raka, who will speak to us about infection control in Kosovo. On the next slide, you'll see the smiling face of Karen Hope, who is in fact the past president now, not the president, as is noted there. Doing a board update right now. Here's
Joanne. Hi, everybody. Joanne Lalo from Chica Canada, the current president as of January 2007. I'm finding many exciting duties that I have taken on in the last little while. We'd like to welcome everybody, and especially our international speaker. And I'd like to start with the board meeting. The last board meeting that we had was in Toronto in November. And basically, we took a look again at our strategic plan, because that's what's going to direct us in the things that we do and provide for our members. So we wanted to make that very clear, and it is on the website for those of you who have had a chance to move through the website. But I just wanted to go over them again and emphasize the fact that we will be looking at them again next year and most likely at our next conference board meeting as well. So there are four basic strategic directions that we have. And the first one, of course, is to expand member services to meet the needs of Chica Canada membership, to expand Chica Canada's influence and profile nationally and internationally as a leader in infection prevention and control, and to develop entrepreneurial ventures to generate funds that are necessary for the continued support of our strategic direction and any of our initiatives as well. And fourthly, to develop an enhanced infrastructure required to support the strategic direction. I'm just going to briefly go over linking to those strategic directions, and the fact that our members continue to grow, our membership continues to grow. There's been a huge investment, as everyone knows, in infection control, infection prevention and control professionals across Canada. And in some provinces at this time more than others. So we are really seeing a growth in this area, and hopefully we'll continue with that as well as we bring on a lot of novice infection control practitioners. As far as our influence and profile nationally and internationally, again, we can look to this sort of teleconference, the Weber teleclasses that we have, and participate in to try to communicate what it is that the board is involved in for Chica, and serve you in the best way that we can. And that's one thing I want to emphasize, is that we would really like to have a dialogue with our members to see what it is we can do for you. If there's something that you really feel passionate about and want perhaps the board to look at, any ideas, anything that's working well or not working well for you, and especially with the communication. I find that's an issue no matter where you go. To develop entrepreneurial ventures to generate funds. As you know, we have a new board member this year, Karen Klinker, who is our Programs and Projects board member, who's taken over from Bruce Gamage. And she will be looking at some interesting initiatives. And, of course, she's speaking a little later, I believe. She will take any suggestions as far as ventures in order to generate funds. And again, I'd like to reiterate the fact that we, of course, do not want to focus on generating the funds on the backs of our members, of course, and we want to provide you with perhaps tools and things like that at the cost that we may have taken to produce those tools and initiatives. And the last one has to do with enhanced infrastructure. And I think when we come to Jerry's spot, Jerry Hansen, she can speak a little bit more about her expanded role and just highlight some of the things that the office will be able to do and is doing in the future with respect to enhancing the infrastructure and having more support for our members. I'm just going to touch briefly on the interest groups, and I'm glad to say that we have 8 interest groups now that are up and running and doing a lot of excellent work. I also point you towards the website, the CHICA website, as far as the interest groups and what you can find there. There's a new community interest group that was developed just after the conference and received board endorsement and approval, and the chair of that group is Gwen Brown, and you can also get a lot more information on the CHICA website and through the CHICA Canada interest groups location on the website as well. So I'd like to end there, and Paul, I'll hand it over to you.
Joanne, thank you very much. The 2007 conference update is apparently not to be given by Dr. Elizabeth Henderson, the 2007 Scientific Program Co-Chair. It will instead be delivered by Jerry Hansen. Jerry.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for inviting me to participate. Just to bring you up to date on the conference, if you have had a chance to look at the registration brochure, which is on our website and has been mailed out to CHICA members, you will soon realize that the education session is a very dynamic and innovative program. For the first time, we have a national scientific planning committee, which is comprised of CHICA members from across Canada who will be developing the programs for our conferences for the next few years. They have decided that the focus of this year's conference must be the changing role of infection control, the evolving of the practice and the improving of the practice, and what tools do ICPs need to improve their practice as it changes. For the past several years, we have had a novice practitioner day, which has been extremely successful, and it provides basic infection control knowledge for those who have been in the profession for less than 3 years. This year we have added a concurrent day, which is the Advanced Practitioner Day. And this is designed to assist the advanced practitioner with skills in developing the next generation of ICPs. Included in that will be how to develop an orientation package, mentoring, and your personal development. Throughout the rest of the conference, pre-conference day is on Monday, and we have a full morning session on patient safety, what does it mean for infection prevention. In the afternoon, we have concurrent sessions, one on construction and renovation and one on surveillance. The rest of the program also focuses on that changing, evolving, and improving, and the speakers and the session topics are really exciting. We encourage you to have a look at the registration brochures, and we encourage you to come out and attend the conference. Not only is it a wonderful education opportunity, but the networking is what you'll take away with you as your peer contacts, what other people are doing, and it will be memorable. We'll also inject some fun into it. We have a great evening planned at Fort Edmonton Park, which is going to be a barbecue dinner plus entertainment by Wayne Lee, who is a hypnotist. And if you've never seen a hypnosis show, this is really quite amazing. Wayne will continue the concept by being our closing speaker, at which time he's going to discuss the empowerment tools that you will need to facilitate all the changes and the improvements that you've learned over the last several days. The call for abstract deadline is Monday, March the 12th. Abstracts must be submitted online. You can access the abstract submission page through our CHICA website. The abstracts is quite an easy process, And we encourage you to send in your abstracts for review by the committee. Some will be chosen for oral presentations. Some will do poster presentations. The Northern Alberta chapter is taking a very active role in that they are helping us by organizing some of the special events. We're continuing with the Run for IFIC, which was a very fun and very worthwhile event in London last year. It's going to continue in Edmonton. It provides money to assist IFIC with its scholarship program to bring our colleagues from under-resourced countries to the IFIC conferences. They are also planning a fun and farewell event, which will take place on the last evening. And they're going to be busing attendees out to West Edmonton Park, where they will have a wine and West Edmonton Mall, where there'll be a wine and cheese reception at Fantasyland. And then they're going to let you loose with maps and directions and spend a couple of hours shopping or enjoying the wonderful restaurants and coffee stations at West Edmonton Mall, and then you'll be bused back. So overall, it's going to be exciting. There's been an awful lot of work put in by the National Scientific Program Committee. It's their first year, and they've done an amazing job. Certainly, we look forward to seeing as many of our CHICA members and colleagues in Edmonton as possible. With that, I invite if there's any questions about the conference or any way in which we can assist you.
Dick Zoutman in Kingston. Jerry, I was trying to submit an abstract. What is the maximum length of the abstract? Do you know? Number of words?
I think there's a... I don't have it right in front of me, Dick, but I think there's... isn't there a template for the size?
Okay.
Yes, there is. I think it's 250, but I...
Were you having a problem, Dick?
It doesn't tell you, so I was just trying to prepare the abstract before I submitted it online.
Okay. I don't have it right in front of me. I will certainly look, and I'll email you later, but I think there is a limit to the number of words that you can put on there.
My 10,000-word abstract is not...
10,000 words. Are you writing a novel or what? I can't answer that correctly right now, Dick, but I will look into it.
Jerry, Joanne spoke briefly to your expanded role, and is this a good opportunity for you to address what that means?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to. Thank you. The board has had discussions over the last several years on the infrastructure that's required to manage our expanded membership, the services that are required, the services that we would like to provide, and how to assist the board and the chapters with their duties with CHICA Canada. Certainly the board members are very active, and they have a huge role to play in the management of the organization. The Membership Services Office has been part of CHICA Canada since 1988. The board has agreed that as of 2008, it will become a full-time position. Up to this point, it has been a part-time position, but the workload really requires a full-time position. So I will continue in that role, and Kelly Wagner, my associate, will continue in providing the secretarial support that we need. In addition to expanding the Membership Services Office, there are other positions that have been established or will be established. In this past year, we hired a bookkeeper to help the treasurer with the day-to-day administration and the database. We still have our auditor, and the treasurer still has reviews all the revenues and expenses, but the addition of a bookkeeper helps her out immensely. She really shouldn't have to be doing the number plugging. She should be looking at the overall financial position and recommending to the board how to improve it. A new position has been established. There will be an announcement in the next journal, but we are going to be looking to appoint an education coordinator. The person in this position will assist the Director of Education in the marketing of the distance education programs to work directly with the institutions who are delivering the programs, and to provide a liaison between the Education Advisory Committee, which is comprised of CHICA members, and the institutions. So the board is funding this position, and there will be an announcement of the employment opportunity in the next journal. It will also be posted to the website. In the past year, we have formalized the web communications manager role, and Shirley McDonald has been appointed to that role. And if you've had a chance to look at our website, you'll realize how very dynamic, creative, and up-to-date the website is, and that is with thanks to Shirley McDonald and to Jim Gauthier, who is the web board manager. One of the very important services of the that we will provide to members, and it will be in place within the next year, is online registration. It's long overdue, and we do need it, not just to help with the workload of having over 1,400 members, but also to provide processing of memberships, receipts, et cetera, in a more timely manner. It used to be something that we could handle very quickly, but with the number of members right now and the number of inquiries, it requires online registration. And we will have online membership registration in place for the next membership year and online conference registration for our 2008 registration period. So the Membership Services Office has increased significantly over the past several years. It has a larger role to play, and just speaking for Kelly and myself, I will say that it's a personal and professional challenge, but it has brought us a lot of satisfaction, and we certainly look forward to continuing those services. Thank you, Paul.
Great. Well, thank you, Jerry. You do a quite a job there. I don't think it's a job that I would want with the amount of work that you managed to juggle, but congratulations on that, and thank you for what you do. There is Education Update.
This is Betty Ann. I'm sorry there aren't any slides. Education-wise, we have three offerings of basic courses. The Centennial College program is still continuing. There's a course that's offered through Queen's University, and there's a course that's offered through the University of Calgary. We're in the process of CHICA Canada is in the process of trying to hire someone who will coordinate the education for the basic infection control course, which is offered through University of Calgary. We want to fan it out to some other universities or colleges across the country so it's more available to people. In addition to the basic courses, there's also a course offered at UBC, which is a certificate course and consists of, I believe it's three courses and a practicum that you have to do, and you actually get a certificate. The courses are also eligible to be applied to a master's degree. A master's of nursing anyway. I don't know about other departments. We are continuing to work on trying to provide the basic training for new people coming into infection control, but also to provide training for people that have been in infection control for a while and are looking for advanced training. And to that end, University of Calgary has moved a couple of courses that we've been doing for a while onto an online. It's kind of a blended format, which is uses technology to allow the instructor to have an in-class group and an online group that are taking the course at the same time. And so those two courses actually are going to be offered starting. One of them will be offered next fall, and it's Epidemiology of Infectious Diseases. And the other course is actually research in hospital epidemiology or infection control, and that will be offered in the fall or in the winter session. So it'll be January to April 2008. There actually has been some discussion about collaborative graduate training programs for people in infection control. We now have a sort of a committee that consists of people from five different universities, and we're discussing the logistics of trying to set up an online graduate training program for infection control. And this would be a collaborative program in that the courses would be offered at the various universities. It wouldn't all be offered at one university, but your degree would be given by the university you're registered at. We are working on that and trying to move that forward. In addition to that, we've actually added an advanced practitioner day to the conference. We're trialing it this year to see how it goes, and if it's well received this year, we will be continuing that in future conferences. It's actually going to be on the same day as the novice day, and it's actually intended to teach people that have been doing infection control, first of all, how to train or orient a new practitioner, how to do mentoring, and then also some information on how to manage your professional development, your own personal professional development. So that's sort of a summary of what we're doing in education. We are also moving forward with the Healthcare Worker Core Competencies Initiative, although that's been somewhat slow because of lack of time to do that. The other thing that Jerry had asked me to talk about is the conference, the national conference.
We did get quite a good report on the national conference from
Jerry.
Jerry
okay.
spoke to that very, very well. If there's something specific you want to highlight, by all means do.
No, that's fine. If Jerry's done it already, that's great.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next in our agenda then is Pat Piaskowski with an update from the Canadian Journal of Infection Control. Pat.
Hi. Hello, all. I'd like to, first of all, express my thanks on behalf of the journal to all the members out there and chapters who have been so active in their support of the journal in terms of sending in not only scientific articles, but different pieces for items that we can use throughout the journal that will certainly be of interest to many of us, because certainly in all our busy work, we don't have time to be reinventing the wheel. So it's really great that so many people are willing to share. I must say that 2006, following up on 2005, has been another banner year for the journal. Just to give you some statistics, certainly in the years, as I characterize things, pre and post-SARS, immediately pre-SARS, there were times when it was difficult to have an article for each issue of the journal, and there are just the four issues. What I can tell you is in 2005, we received 9 articles. In 2006, we received 14 quality articles from not only members of CHICA Canada, but also international authors as well. And I think this is extremely exciting. So our uptake of articles for the journal has dramatically increased. Already this year, we have 10 articles awaiting publication. And I know this may be a surprise to some budding authors who have submitted, because in the past, they pretty well could have been guaranteed that they would see their article and if not the next issue, certainly the one after that. And for once, we now have an actual queue of articles that are awaiting publication in our journal, and that is really exciting. As we increase the amount of scientific content, that improves our odds of being more well-referenced. We are referenced, but in terms of being referenced in things such as Index Medicus, that a lot of that relies on the amount of your scientific content. So the more we're able to increase that through the great submissions from not only our members, but folks around the world, this really helps us toward that goal. In the past year, because of this increased flux of articles, We work closely with our publishers and with Jerry Hansen to look at some ways to open up some space in our journal. Certainly, the amount of content we can put in is tied to the amount of advertising, and our publishers do a great job of attracting a wide variety of advertisers for our journal. But we are limited, though, in the amount of space that we can devote to content. There has to be a mix. So what we have done is move the chapter news items, which I know many of you faithfully submit from your chapters, to our website. And I think this is a benefit as well. I know Shirley's online, that this is a sort of a more current way to get that valuable information on what's going on in other chapters. So we have made that move so that we are able to fit more scientific content into each issue. The other thing we've added is a section of the journal, and people have been submitting to that, and I really thank them all, called News from the Field. These are information pieces. Certainly they do go through an editorial review process. However, they're about things that you've dealt with or neat things that you've done either in facilities or agencies. And I think that's a real plus as well, because I think what we've heard at our CJIC meetings, we have journal meetings at every conference, and I certainly invite you to attend. I know last year's was very well attended, as was the previous year's. One of the suggestions was is that we put more of these ready-to-use, user-friendly, kind of how-to kind of pieces into the journal. Certainly, we always invite and encourage scientific publications, but we've also hearing from our members that there's a need for some of this other type of material. In terms of international articles, just recently we have received articles from Europe, Saudi Arabia, and as far away as Iran, and that is really exciting. We are at this point reviewing the content of our editorial board, and I know this year we've brought on Sandra Callery, who will be taking on some of the international article review. We really encourage those articles, but sometimes there are some challenges around reviewing articles which are written by people for whom English may not be their first language, but certainly it really adds an international flavor to our journal, and I'm hoping that we will be able to publish in more and more of these, as well as that really important Canadian content. I know that we all recognize and know that there is a continuing need for research and publication related to infections in Canada. So anyway, that's really just a quick update of the journal, and I, again, thank you to those who have submitted, and for those of you who are hoping to submit, it is not a daunting process. Each article that is submitted goes through an editorial review process, and then we send back to you within a fairly short turnaround, hopefully, some very helpful editorial comments and suggestions for improvement of the articles. And I can tell you that our rejection rate on articles is extremely low, and we are willing to find support people who maybe feel a little more daunted by getting those editorial changes. So I'll stop right there, Paul, if there's any comments or questions related to the journal.
Thanks, Pat, for that update. That was excellent. And I know Pat and I have discussed in just a few weeks ago the fact there is so much information that we'd like to put in the journal, and as she has mentioned, it is limited. One of the thoughts, and I'm just going to toss this out again for discussion, is for some members who have called me and are wondering about an online newsletter type of issue that goes out and is posted to the CHICA website at a regular basis, to do with updates and communications from the boards and the standing committees and the interest groups and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to toss it out there as a thought, and if anyone has a comment on that, I would appreciate it.
Would you like them to comment to you, Joanne? Or
actually, yeah, if you could email me, that would be great.
And your email address is?
Lalo, L-A-A-L-O, at hhsc.ca.
Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Ruth Schertzberg. It's not really a question to Pat, but it's a follow-up to Joanne's statement and that communication piece. I represent Handic, CHICA Handic, and at our last meeting we sort of took a poll from the representatives of standing committees in the chapter. And in the last year, not any of them had heard from the committee. And, you know, we're trying to get volunteers in the chapter, but if there's no activity, it's hard to get people to volunteer for this. And I would really support some more communication from the board and standing committees to the chapters and the membership.
Thanks, Ruth. It's a great suggestion, again, with increasing the communication. And as I mentioned, the newsletter may be one way, again, that we can explore that. I'd just be interested from other members if there's some ideas that they have to improve communication, areas that they can go to on the website for interest group information as well as the standing committees. And I think Dick is online. Dick, do you have any suggestions for communication or back and forth between, for instance, your standing committee?
Yeah, this has been a difficult issue. For the Government and Public Affairs Committee, we do have, you know, corresponding members from each chapter, and I had tried to engage with them. To be honest, it was a little flat, and so that was last year. And so what you don't want to have is a situation where the committee chair grinds away on this stuff on their dining room table all by themselves. Unfortunately, we need to figure out a way then to engage better, because I had real difficulties, you know, sending out emails, not getting replies, trying to set up conference calls with poor attendance and so forth. So it is obviously a two-way street. I don't have the answer. I just don't know how to do that better. If anybody does, I'm dying to know.
Thank you, Joanne, and thank you, Dick. We will move on, but if you have questions for Pat or for Joanne, you are, of course, welcome to email either one or both. Gwen Brown is going to present on the newest interest group on community health care. I didn't have a photograph of Gwen handy, so I had to pick one that I thought probably most likely represents what she looks like. And so, Gwen, would you present to us an update on the community health care interest group?
Sure. Thanks a lot. And just to let you know, I'm booked for cosmetic surgery right after this presentation. I'll begin at when we first began to talk about the community interest group. The discussion came up at our chapter, which was the Ottawa Region chapter, and that was now a full year ago. And how it originated was we were calling for reps for the existing interest groups at the time, and the conversation kind of turned and had a community focus, and one of our members suggested that perhaps it was an opportune time to investigate the initiation of a community health interest group. So that's how we initially started off the discussion. And the reason why we thought that there would be a purpose to forming such a group was that we had felt in the past that there were some challenges that were specific to the community health sector. And I'll just go through these. This is on slide 11. One is that we provide care essentially in rooms without borders, i.e. we don't have isolation rooms. We don't have any ability to segregate a client from the outside world or from family members, et cetera. That the people providing care are essentially independent practitioners. They will work for an agency in the majority of cases, but their actual practice is performed independently. There's not peers to rely on, and the supervision is very limited. There was sometimes difficulty in translating institutional practices into the home. So, for instance, if there was a best practice for a hospital setting, it often didn't translate well into the community because the parameters in the community were quite different, the supports in the community were different, and the controls in the community were different. Our sense was that there has been a lack of research into infection control issues in the community sector. And we thought perhaps that an interest group might help to boost that that activity. As with every agency or institution or sector of healthcare, we do have challenges with client compliance. They are sometimes emphasized in the community setting simply because, again, we're not there 24/7. The client may be visited once a day or more likely less than that. So client compliance becomes quite an issue. We have no control over whether the client goes out and works in the garden or goes swimming with a dressing on or any of those kinds of things. Also, the role of family and friends becomes more critical in the community health sector because they have more interaction with the client, and again, that interaction isn't regulated, if you will. And just the home environments generally often pose quite an infection control challenge, whether it be the cleanliness of the home, the presence of animals, whether they're domestic animals or other, as well as just having running water in some situations, having a clean place to wash your hands, those kinds of things. So those were some of the ideas that were discussed about why a community interest group might be of benefit. So initially what happened was two volunteers did step forward to lead the formation of the new interest group. One was the person who brought the idea to the chapter, and I was the second volunteer to step forward. Then we had a bit of a roadblock because the initial volunteer who had first presented the idea actually changed roles and changed employers and left the chapter. So then it kind of devolved to me, and my initial actions were to have some email dialogue with the Chica president-elect about the formation of a new group, and thanks to you, Joanne, it was very helpful and certainly supportive in moving forward with this interest group. So the steps to date are somewhat limited. We have drafted our terms of reference, and that is posted on the website, as is the group link. We're working at establishing some local interest through our local chapter right now so that we have some volunteers to kind of share that initial workload. Our next steps, I will not be continuing as chair. For those of you not from Ontario, there has been a provincial move to consolidate the Community Care Access Centres here in Ontario, which are the ministry-funded agencies that essentially contract out any services within the home environment. And so my role is going to be changing, and so we will be looking at a change of chair. I have had a couple of people express interest in the group, so I'm hoping that one of those people will take on that role. So our next move will be to solicit some national interest, and obviously the participation in the annual Chica conference will be a great motivator for that. And I've also been advised of some other methods through Chica that I can use to solicit further membership. And once that membership is in place, then of course what we want to do is start the dialogue again and find out where the areas of interest are. Share some best practice or even identify some best practice, see where we maybe need to focus on improving, see where the gaps are, and even a visioning exercise to find out exactly where we want to go. So that's where it is to date, and I'll take any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Gwen. I would like to introduce the next person. Dr. Dick Zoutman has a very specific role, and that is to introduce his friend, Dr. Lowell Racca. Dick Zoutman, of course, is the physician director of Chica Canada, very active in the infection control community, and a good friend. Dick, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks very much, Paul, and I must say that it gives me a great deal of pleasure and an honor to introduce a colleague and a dear friend in Dr. Lowell Racca. Lowell is presently in the United States, but his home is in Pristina, Kosovo. Dr. Racca is assistant professor of medical microbiology at the medical school in Pristina University, and he's a medical microbiologist at the National Institute of Public Health of Kosovo in Pristina. Dr. Racca and I first met in early 2000 after the war in Kosovo in 1999. And Dr. Racca has been instrumental and central in rebuilding infection control in Kosovo. Dr. Racca has established surveillance systems and has recently also established a national committee for infection control for Kosovo, and he is the president of that committee for prevention and control of nosocomial infections, sponsored by the Ministry of Health of the Kosovo government. And Lowell is a very inquisitive gentleman. He has published a great number of studies given this early stage of his career. I've had the privilege of working on papers with him on surveillance and surveillance priorities and nosocomial infections in the hospitals in Kosovo and particularly in Pristina. So it's going to be exciting to hear from Lul as to the status of infection control in Kosovo, and so I welcome you in the teleclass, Lul, and we're anxious to hear your presentation.
Thank you very much for the introduction, Dick. I am really privileged and honored to be today with you to present some key features of my country's profile, healthcare system, and infection control in my country in past, present, and future. Kosovo is a country in southeastern part of Europe with about 11,000 square kilometers and with an estimated population of 2.1 million. Among consisted 91% are Albanians, and currently we are under protectorate of United Nations, but we have full competences of Kosovo government in specific areas such as health, education, environment, etc. The long-term political status is still unresolved. It is to be resolved probably in the next couple of weeks in United Nations Security Council or elsewhere. As you mentioned, we had a recently turbulent history. We have war that during which time that much of health infrastructure was destroyed, unfortunately. Kosovo has the youngest population in Europe. The mean age of people in my country is 24.6. And it's amazing that more than half of population, 42%, are aged under 19 years. Then women of childbearing age consists 56% of total female population. On the other side, unfortunately, the unemployment rate is very high. Officially, these are official numbers, it is 60 to 70%. And latest research from World Bank and their partners shows that the poverty is widespread in our country. It's about 50.3% of people live in poverty, and 12% of them living in extreme poverty. Agriculture remains the main activity, economic activity. Our economy is currently in transition, and the process of privatization should affect and result in activation and transformation. Local production is low, only 3% are exported, and 70% are imported, whereas GDP per person is 658 euro per person. In former Yugoslavia, we were part of former Yugoslavia, we had the socialist healthcare system. But during the past decade, a downturn in economy resulted in decreased funding for healthcare sector, leading to deterioration of the infrastructure, lower salaries, and decreased quality of care. And after the war, the healthcare system underwent transition from old one to more modern concepts of management, presenting the challenge for both healthcare staff in one side and entire population in the other. The Ministry of Health governs the national healthcare system, which is public-based and financed by Kosovo consolidated budget, of which, unfortunately, health takes only 9.5%. And the approximate budget of my country is 650 million, or around 65 million per healthcare. This is about $35 per capita in 1 year, and it is less than in many African countries, unfortunately. The health insurance system is not yet established. They are preparing to establish that. And without an economic development, the budget is not likely to grow rapidly in the near future. There are two categories of medical service, public and private. Public health service consists of primary, secondary, and tertiary medicine. The only tertiary care center in our country is University Hospital Clinical Center of Kosovo that has 2,345 beds. The bed occupancy average is around 75% with a length of stay of about 12.5 days. Healthcare challenges in my country are still communicable diseases. We have every year outbreaks of bacterial meningitis. TB is still a problem. We are an endemic country of zoonosis. We have outbreaks of Crimea-Congo hemorrhagic fever and tularemia. With Crimea-Congo hemorrhagic fever, 4 cases, there were nosocomial transmission with 2 deaths. Fifth of the cases, 2 people died. Then we had viral meningoencephalitis, foodborne, and enteric diseases. Water and sanitation remain one of main public problems, with 30 to 40% of population drinking unsafe water. We have the highest infant mortality rates in Europe with 23.7 per 1,000 births, and neonatal mortality rates is also high, 29 in 1,000 live births. Unfortunately, 40% of in-hospital mortality is among infants. And the other challenges are, of course, nosocomial infections and antimicrobial resistance. Regarding antimicrobial resistance, in the last decade, or decades, I would say, 15 years, all antimicrobials and are available in pharmacies without prescription. Sometimes the quality of potency and of antibiotics were suspect. We are in the middle of standardization of susceptibility testing in our six regional laboratories, and there are still not written antibiotic policy guidelines at governmental level and within the hospital. Infection control in Kosovo is infant compared with infection control programs in EU, in North America, and in neighboring countries. In past, infection control activities were limited to passive monitoring activities, and actions were only initiated as a response to late stages of outbreaks. Within the university hospital and some regional hospitals, there were infection control committees, but they were simply only in paper. They never had a meeting. They never conducted, prevented something. So, and there were no baseline endemic infection rates. First steps of for new perceptions of infection control came in Kosovo through initiatives organized by CPHA, Canadian Public Health Association. Initial education and training were established within the only tertiary healthcare center in capital Pristina through an exchange program with an infection control team from Kingston, Canada, led by Professor Dick Zoutman. Unfortunately, support from Canada was poorly absorbed by stakeholders at the governmental level, and many clear recommendations were not applied in practice due to poor cooperation by hospital leaders who change very frequently. But I would use this opportunity to appreciate and to thank Dr. Dick Zoutman, who is the most who gave the greatest contribution to infection control. And the results of his work and our cooperative work, they came up a little delayed, but they show up, definitely. The first article published in the field of nosocomial infection was on bacteremia among pediatric patients with a crude mortality of 31% amongst newborns. Then, together with Professor Zoutman, we tried to have an overview, a picture of what is the burden of a problem in our university hospital. And then we conducted a prevalence study in December 2003, and that study showed an overall prevalence rate of 70.4%, with the most common nosocomial infection, bacteremia, bloodstream infection, 62%. And the prevalence of these infections was highest among neonates in intensive care units, and two-thirds of the isolates were gram-negative bacilli. A kind of turning point in infection control in my country came out in December 2005. In the meantime, we had continuously problems with Pseudomonas outbreaks in ICU, dialysis, ventilator-associated pneumonias. My colleagues from epidemiology department, they went there, they wrote a report, but there was no response. The leaders in the hospital, they ignored, underestimate the importance of infection control, and sometimes they hide the infection rates or infections. So in 2005, there was an outbreak in ICU with MRSA. I was invited to survey that situation, and when I went there, there was no soap, no paper towels. The unit was understaffed. They were reusing suction catheters because they said, we have no money to buy. And I immediately came up with the idea. I said, we have to do something. And I prepared the report. We just were waiting for microbiological results to close the war. Then the report was sent to Prime Minister and the Minister of Health and directors in hospital, who got mad with that report. And I was to meet pressure in my director for that report, to withdraw that report, and I was pronounced persona non grata for during that time. But that report provoked a debate in media, newspaper, among healthcare workers, and infection control became a breaking news in the country because politicians were more interested what are media writing about their governance or something like that. And it raised the awareness of infection control in my country. And 5 years, six months, there was a kind of quiet situation. And after After that, in May 2002, I received a letter from Ministry of Health, and they made a decision to form National Committee for Prevention and Control of Nosocomial Infection in national level, and I was appointed as a president with other 8 members. So the first proposal to establish such program was written by Professor Zaltman in October 2003, and then in February 2004, the Ministry of Health also required for me to write another proposal, similar proposal, about the program, and these proposals were sitting there for more than two, three years. And they told me, we have no money, you have to know that. I said, okay, I thought we were doing something in an individual level, it's time and it's good opportunity to change something in official level, because I could use the network of communication that I have created with a lot of peoples and good cooperation in the world, especially with Canada and with Professor Zaltman. The challenges for infection control remain the same, like in all other countries with limited resources. It is a lack of financial support. It is lack of political commitment, who is fortunately changing now. We have inadequate number of trained personnel in infection control, overcrowded wards, poor management, and insufficient equipment and supply. So the activities of our committee since June was first... CDC definitions were already translated 2 years ago in Albanian. First, we wrote terms of reference. Who are we and what are responsibilities and duties? Then we wrote a hand hygiene recommendation because there was a complaint by healthcare workers that said, we have nothing written. You are telling us to wash our hands, but we have nothing written. In our language, we don't understand English. So we prepared with a group of experts hand hygiene recommendation. Then we came up with a proposal to immunize healthcare workers against hepatitis B and influenza, and that we received promises from hospital leaders that they will start procurement to purchasing these vaccines, and this process is going on now. Then we have cooperation, as I mentioned, during all this period, 5-6 years, all the time, we got contact with Professor Zaltman for every problem. He was our advisor, our teacher in all the times. Then we had whipped contacts with IFIC and the IFIC handbook, Infection Control, Basic Concepts and Trainings, was translated in Albanian 2 years ago and distributed for free to 1,000 healthcare workers in 5 hospitals in my country. Then we had whipped contacts with APIC director, last ICNA conference in London, and now we are also contacting Hospital Infection Society in UK, who are willing to support in our first steps. So far, our country, my country, Kosovo, in November, it was the first beginning of November, already signed the pledge by the Ministry of Health to combat hospital healthcare associated infections, joining WHO World Alliance for Patient Safety. And I put here 3 points. Then tomorrow, I should put yesterday and tomorrow, since Canada, CPHA, and Professor Zaltman, who is also a member of CHICA, they made our first steps of infection control in our country. We are trying to appeal for help from Canada, from CHICA, from Dick Zaltman, to continue when they are stopped, because they gave the highest contribution to infection control, and we would like to continue where they stop. So we would like to make an appeal for help to transform our vision into reality. In the meantime, we continue to conduct some surveillance, also in collaboration with Professor Zaltman and Professor Kalinic from Croatia. We put up together a questionnaire to see what is knowledge, attitude, and practices of healthcare workers regarding nosocomial infections. We had 350 respondents in 4 hospitals, and only 17.8% knew the complete definition of nosocomial infection. Half of them, they had wrong picture about disinfection. Regarding collection of blood samples, 1/4 of them withdrew immediately after skin disinfection, whereas 47% 5 seconds later. 60% of healthcare workers were vaccinated against hepatitis B, and 57% of them reported that they had suffered a needle stick injury, and 26%, one-fourth of them, they didn't report to nobody. Then in September 2006, there was a study conducted by my colleague in ICU, and I was happy that I'm infecting other people with infection control issues. And we conducted the surveillance of prevalence of nosocomial infection in adult ICUs. And unfortunately, the rates are even higher than first study. 68.7% had nosocomial infection, and ventilator and associated pneumonia was present at 80% of the patients. Last year, we also conducted a prospective study from January to June 2006 in the surgical site infections from Helix protocol, and the incidence rate was 12%. Our top priority remains sterilization, and we conduct an audit in June 2006 in University Clinical Center. We conduct an audit in 50 areas of sterilization, mainly in surgical ward, and dry heat oven were used in 43 of these sites. Six sites did not report any method of quality control of sterilization process, unfortunately. And instrument preparation was used by household cleaners in 75%. We are now trying to put also some research collaborative projects with Croatia, doing genotyping of nosocomial bacterial strains from ICU. Then since October 2006, we are involved also in a national nosocomial infection control consortium who is studying prospective multicenter study evaluating costs, risk factors, and rates of nosocomial infections in intensive care units. And it's mainly country participating from developing world. And also we have also put some contacts with collaborative study with Health Protection Agency. And we're looking forward to expand this collaborative study in near future. We know that in future we have a long way ahead. We have some top priorities to work on, starting with sterilization, central sterilization services, and quality control. Then hand hygiene, improving hand hygiene, rising the level of education of healthcare workers regarding nosocomial infection, working in immunization of healthcare workers against hepatitis B and influenza, then starting to prepare some frameworks of legislation of infection control, strategies, guidelines, and policies on specific infection control issues. And we know that there is a long way ahead, but we are optimistic, and as always, and we hope that with the help of our international states, countries, and associations, they will make much more easy this way for us. Thank you very much for your attention.
Dr. Baca, thank you very much. It's great for us to hear what's going on in parts of the world, particularly in areas where they don't have resources that we have here. You're doing an amazing job with very few resources. I admire you. I'm glad I'm not in your shoes, but I admire you a great deal. I was pleased to get to know you a little bit better in the UK last year, and hopefully we'll be able to meet again. Does anyone have any questions for Dr. Baca?
Well, it's Dick here. If I might offer a comment. I just want to congratulate Lowell on his persistence. If some of you think about the way Lowell has described the evolution of infection control in Kosovo, and you think of a war that has destroyed infrastructure, a lot of the troubles he has are not all that different, but they're of a different order of magnitude than what we have in Canada. We have more resources. But it's interesting the similarities in very different environments of infection control just not being a priority until there's a disaster, and then suddenly everybody asks, well, where were you? And that's reminiscent of things that have happened in North America and Europe before, and seemed doomed to repeat themselves. But I would sort of congratulate Lowell on his persistence and his sense of vision for keeping on with this very important effort.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you, Dick. And it's really amazing how things really start to happen when the media grabs a hold of it. I will also say, for those of you who didn't hear the chatter before the teleclass began, Dr. Rack's wife will be delivering their third child in April in Pristina, and Dr. Racca won't arrive back into Pristina until May. So congratulations on the birth of your third
child.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I hope things go very, very well, and I hope your wife is still happy with you when you finally get home.
Yeah.
I will say thank you to all of our presenters and participants for joining this Voices of Chica teleclass. If you have some questions that you weren't able to ask or weren't willing to ask and would like to get answers, you may certainly email the questions to me, and I will forward them as appropriate and get the answers back to you. I'll thank our presenters and our participants again, as well as our very supportive corporate sponsors. They're listed on the last slide there, along with their website addresses. I'm sure if you have the opportunity to communicate with them and thank them directly, they'd be very glad to hear from you. Thanks again to everyone. Dr. Racca, particularly, thank you to you for your time and sharing with us.
Thank you also for inviting me, and all the best.
You're very welcome. Thanks all for supporting Chica Canada, and we'll talk again soon. Goodbye.
Bye.